Next Sunday, we'll have Dr. Charles Surratt. We call him Chuck. Brother Surratt is an author, professor, pastor, great godly leader. And he'll be here next Sunday morning at 10 and speak with all the adults on missions. If the teenagers want to come in too, this, you can or you don't have to. And then at 11, he'll be preaching for us. And I haven't heard him in quite a long time. I really look forward to him speaking. He's a seasoned man up in his 70s now. And he's no longer pastor of the church in Kings Mountain, Emmanuel Baptist Church, I believe is the name of it. And the assistant who was there for over 15 years is now the pastor. But he's still teaching at the college. And he was available to come. Then Sunday night, I guess I'll cover the service. And then Monday and Tuesday night, we're going to have John O'Malley, who's with New Testament Baptist Missions in Kings Mountain, and also is an evangelist. He spoke for us before. The teenagers like him a lot because he learns every one of them's name and picks on them the whole time he's here, you know. So you'll enjoy Brother O'Malley and also Brother Surratt if you can be here next week. Please lift these other folks in your prayers, and thank you all. Have your Bibles. Turn with me to Psalm 33. Today's Veterans Day, and we're kind of thanking our veterans for serving and recognizing them for their service. And the flags for any of our visitors are because we're emphasizing missions this month. And everywhere you see a flag, we have a missionary there or have had a missionary there serving in that particular country. And the church sends money to about 45 missionaries and about 50 total mission projects. And we give $100,000 a year to missions. And that represents about 33% of all of the money that comes to this church. And so we believe in supporting missions because we believe it is Christ's command to make disciples of every nation of people. The word is actually in the Greek ethnos. It's where we get our English word ethnic. It means we're to make disciples of every ethnic group of people in the world. Disciples for Christ. If you look in Psalm 33 and verse 8 is where I'll begin. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh down from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 30, he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Freedom and liberty are associated with the United States of America, and righteousness as a people. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Our nation had founding principles of Christianity. We've gone through the pledges and the hymns for the military and for being citizens of the United States. And we think about our praise to God for His Word as the Creator, for His righteousness, and for His mercy to us. America was founded as a constitutional republic. People often say it's a democracy, but it is not. It is a constitutional republic. We vote democratically, meaning everybody has the right as citizens to vote once you get to the age, what is it now, 18 years old? I heard a lady on TV the other day saying back in 1970 she was 18 and she was able to vote the first time. She wasn't right because I was in the Marine Corps at that time and I couldn't vote even after going to Vietnam and serving in the Marine Corps. You had to be 21 back in those days to vote. So if she voted at 18, she voted illegally and just told it over all the television. You know, I'm sure she just had her years mixed up. But we as a people have the right to vote democratically, but the country is not a democracy. That would mean the majority would always rule. The Bible says don't follow a multitude to do evil, and a multitude can be wrong. So there are safeguards in the Constitution and our laws. A constitutional republic means the power is in the citizens to preserve what has been handed down in the freedoms and liberties. We have elected officials, which limits the powers of government. I like that word, limiting the power of government. We have the executive branch, which is our president and vice president. We have the legislative branch, which includes the Congress and the Senate. And we have the Supreme Court. These are called separation of powers so that one group does not have all the power to enforce its will upon the country. And all of these are elected by the people. And so if we don't like them, we can gather enough people together and vote against them the next time and put somebody else in their office. That's what makes America great. We have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And our government is elected by the people, for the people, and of the people to run this country. There's a greatness in this nation in the liberty and justice that we have extended to the least of people, regardless of their income, regardless of their ethnicity. We're supposed to have the same rights and the same justice. Sadly, we see in the world today, whoever's got the best lawyer can often win the case rather than real justice and liberty for all. There's a goodness about America. In the past, our morals have made America good and kind. We have ethics. There are churches that dot our land that teach people right from wrong and to live righteously under God, to have fear for God and respect for Him as the Creator and a desire for a relationship with Him in our lives. It produces good works and benevolence to the world. America is great because of its resources. I read the other day that America, just in the last month, has become the largest oil producer in the world. The new oil fields they've found, the new ways of obtaining oil, has surpassed other nations in the production of oil. So this country is no longer totally dependent upon Saudi Arabia and that group of people for the oil for our country to operate, and I'm very happy about that. Resources. We could feed the world with what's produced in the United States of America in grains of wheat and oats and all those kind of things. We have law and order in the United States of America. Romans chapter 13, God gave civil government the right to laws to punish criminals and to enforce capital punishment. Read Romans 13. And see that the government does not bear the sword in vain. Under God, if man takes man's life, by man shall his life be taken, is the law that God set up. Leaders in our country saw the need in the early days to humbly seek God to rule over us. And they came along at a point in time that it was determined and it was put in place to put on all of our money in God we trust, as a reminder to us not to love money, but to trust the Lord to supply our needs. And we're kind of getting away from that attitude. Some folks have tried to change that and take that off the money. I think we need that reminder, and I think we need to teach it to our young people as well, that it's in God we need to trust. This nation's laws were founded with scriptural principles. The great jurist Blackstone wrote in all of his commentaries that for many, many years in the United States were used to train the lawyers of our land. And it showed a verse of scripture for every law that the United States has enacted in all of its laws. And it shows that the Bible is the reason for the laws that we have. America was known by many principles. First of all, the principle of dignity for human life. Before abortion on demand was put in, the country lived under God's law, "Thou shalt not kill." If you study the scriptures, you find that emphasis is not to commit murder. And we know the war requires killing. We know capital punishment requires killing. But God's word makes it very clear those things are within the boundaries of his commands. But we're not to commit murder. Jesus elevated that command in Matthew chapter 5, not even to be angry with our brother without a cause, or we would be held accountable as they are accountable for murder. In Proverbs 6, the Bible tells us that God hates those who shed innocent blood. All these shootings that take place today in schools and areas where people are gathered, where innocent people are murdered and wounded, the Bible says God hates those that shed innocent blood. I believe it applies to abortion as well. I'm quick to extend to those who've done that, that God can bring forgiveness and cleansing of your sin. But I believe it's wrong. And we helped as a church to found the Palmetto Women's Center. Carol, where are you at? Carol Holloway. Palmetto Women's Center, is that what it's called now? Okay, we started as a crisis pregnancy center, chartered, and it was York County something or other. And gives free pregnancy tests. They have expanded now to 4 locations. They have ultrasounds where women can see the baby in the womb, and this has cut down on a lot of abortions in our area because people see they're pregnant. It's a live baby. It's real, unlike what the abortion on demand crowd has tried to tell them. And we helped found that, and we still support it in our missions. This country is known for the principle of traditional family. Men and women married under God, accountable to Him for the vows they take. And God has required certain ways to treat each other. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 32 is a good passage, and 1 Corinthians 13 defines the kind of love God requires that we have one for another. It's not enough for us just to be for what's right in marriage and the home. We also have to be against what's wrong. And many changes have taken place in the world today that are trying to undermine and destroy the traditional home and family. The principle of common decency, how we treat each other. As Christians, we're to live by the fruit of the Spirit, to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And if we live by those principles, we'll treat each other in the right way. Jesus taught that we're to treat others the way we desire to be treated. Not to treat others like they treat us, but to treat them the way we desire to be treated. And that means that we'll use kindness and patience and long-suffering. The country is known for the principle of common decency, to treat each other as we should. This is governed by our morality, and our morality is governed by what we believe. What we believe according to the scriptures will reveal itself in how we behave in daily life. Christian influence has helped to bring this country to where it is today, but today we're losing our salt and our light as Christians because So many of the world today reject the Bible, reject the Lord, reject Christianity, and they openly stand against it. And that's very sad, because it's only through Jesus Christ that men are going to be saved and have their sins forgiven. Then the principle of a work ethic. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 teaches, if man will not work, neither should he eat. And so the Bible gives the church the responsibility of a work ethic to teach its people to earn their living, to work for their job, to educate themselves so they can better themselves, and to get training that is needed so you can better yourself and have a work ethic. The Puritans had great influence in the early founding of this country, and they taught capitalism, not socialism. In socialism, we saw in the recent election, several candidates were elected on the platform that we're going to give away everything to everybody. Open the borders, let anybody come in, give them a free education, give them welfare, give them anything they need. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches we are to work for what we receive, and we should have a work ethic. The principle of the Judeo-Christian ethic. God raised up Abraham to be a nation of people, and it was through Abraham that Christ would come, who would be a blessing to every nation, providing salvation. Because of that, our nation was based on the Old Testament scriptures, laws. And all of our laws in our land were based on biblical principles, including capital punishment. The principle of God-centered education. I noticed in one of the films the other night in the missionary show the other last Sunday morning, Brother Hendricks showed some videos of the Caribbean Islands, and he showed churches with schools. The schools were in the church. Do you know that's how the schools got started in the United States of America? They met in the school buildings. They would build a church in a community, and it would be the school during the week and the church service on Sunday. It was the same place. It was built by the people. It was owned by the people. They didn't get federal funds to run the schools, so they didn't have to do what the federal government would tell them to do. Once the schools began to take state and federal tax money to build their buildings and operate their schools, they had to submit to the rules and the laws of the federal government and what it required of the schools to do. Now, some of those rules have been good. Safety and protection and treatment of all people equally and those kind of things have been enforced, and that's been good. But there's been a lot of things that have not been good as they have changed their morals and kicked God out of the school and the Bible out of the school. Just recently I noticed on a Facebook post, someone wrote, kids saying, "Dear God, why are you letting so many shootings happen in the school?" And God replied, "I'm not allowed to go to the school." I thought, boy, that's a heart-rendering expression to think about, that God is banned from attending the school. In North Carolina, somewhere just a little ways out of Charlotte, the small town that's had their high school graduation every year in a local church there. And a group has brought suit against that. And the school doesn't even have a big enough auditorium or anything to have their graduation, and they've had their graduation in a church, and this group has brought a law against it, trying to ban them from using a church, saying it's a failure of separation of church and state. Most of you know the separation of church and state is a fallacy. It's not even written into the Constitution. It was Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter to a group of pastors who were concerned that he was going to establish a church-state religion like they had in England. And that's why many people came here, to get away from that. And he wrote back and said there'd be a wall of separation between the church and the state. It had nothing to do with education of kids and all that sort of thing. But we've allowed it to take place. The principle of God-centered education is found in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 through 9. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, how parents are to treat their children and to bring them up with truth. The principle that God established the home and family and marriage. The principle that God established civil government. Romans 13, verse 1 through 7, law and order are established by God. With Noah, he began to establish civil government. And then God also established the church. These three things God hath made, as well as man. And God gave us a command. That's why these flags are here, to make disciples of every nation of people. We're given the principles to live by in the Scriptures, the principle of Christianity, that we are a priesthood of believers and we're to offer spiritual sacrifices unto God, that we're to live as pilgrims and strangers just passing through this world because our citizenship is in heaven once you get to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and we're to live like citizens of heaven. We're not to live as the heathen do. We're not to live in darkness of sin, but in the light of the Lord. We're to walk in wisdom and not in foolishness. We're to walk spiritually and not carnally in the flesh. Christ has given us a command to make disciples, and our church is busy in seeking to do that. It's not enough just for somebody to get saved. We also have to teach them everything the Lord has laid down in His Word. He's taught us not to love this world that we live in. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2 and verse number 15. We're to put God before things materially. We're to follow God's Word, not celebrities. Don't get your theology and your manner of living from the Hollywood crowd. Just look at their lives and see the horror of what they have produced. This society that we live in, the Bible is to be our guide, not a denomination that has changed with men. We're to follow the Word of God that is unchanging and forever settled in heaven. America has set the example for the world of Christianity, but today our light is not as bright as it once was, and our holiness is not as strong as it once was. Our salt has lost its savor. Still, the largest portion of missions to the world comes from the United States of America. The largest portion of financial aid to countries in need has come in the past from the United States of America. We are taught not to be selfish and materialistic. We're taught to have a work ethic. We're taught that we're not to want something for nothing, but we are to put forth the effort to deserve what we receive. In Houston, Texas, many years ago, the police department produced a pamphlet that went around the country. It was called How to Ruin Your Children. Number one, begin in infancy, giving them everything they want. Harvard did a study on delinquency. It was quoted in this pamphlet. They said children need a father's discipline, a mother's attention, and parental affection from mom and dad. Secondly, it said if your kids say vulgar things, laugh about it. If you want to spoil your children, let them decide on any spiritual training about going to church or not going to church. Don't tell them anything is a sin or anything is wrong. And don't give them chores or make them earn a wage. Teach them that other people should wait on them and all of their needs should be met. The list was much longer than that, but you get the idea of what Houston, Texas was trying to say. Same thing we try to say as a church of how we raise our children according to the Bible. America has been the land of the free and the home of the brave. We fought World War I and World War II and Korea and Vietnam and most recently Iraq and Afghanistan to liberate other nations of people from socialism and communism and Islam that is trying to dictate the world and bring tyranny upon a people. We fought and died for those wars. You know, I served in Vietnam, and the wall has over 58,000 men and some women on the wall in Washington who died in the Vietnam War. Korea has similar statistics. World War II and World War I, much, much higher than those. Giving all for others. We've spent billions of dollars in foreign aid to other nations. We're the greatest charitable nation in the world. We have rushed to other nations and to places in the United States thousands of people and millions of dollars in aid when there are hurricanes and tsunamis and earthquakes and floods. As a matter of fact, a short time before World War II, the United States went to the aid of Japan that suffered a massive earthquake. And the United States brought aid and rebuilding and charity to the nation of Japan. And the newspapers of America said, Japan will never forget America's kindness. And then they bombed Pearl Harbor just a few years after that. It isn't just Japan that forgot our kindness. Most other nations want what we'll give them, but do not want our influence in morals and ethics and religion. Jesus said, look out on the fields, they're ready to harvest. He said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. As we send missions around the world, there's always a great financial need. Those who are part of this church, many contribute above their tithe to the church, a gift to missions that helps send missionaries around the world. It takes between $4,000 and $6,000 a month to send a missionary to a foreign country to live and to establish a church and to train national people who can take that church over and then reproduce it again and hopefully again and again. Materialism in America is keeping us from sending money to missions. Governmental needs. Today, some nations are closed to American missionaries to come there and start churches. In the 1040 window, because of Islam, many nations are closed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some nations have so much red tape that it makes it difficult for missionaries to get in. One of our missionaries was not allowed to return to South Africa until they found a church there that would write a letter to the government and say their services were needed. And they said they couldn't find their fingerprints. And then there was an increase in a tax that was put upon them to enter the country. And so it's been very difficult. The same thing has happened with the Hmongs, who went outside the country of Morocco and then were not allowed to go back in. And so they've gone to another Islamic nation to minister and try to do the same job over there. Getting a visa, which is a permission, not a credit card, a permission to get into another country, is becoming harder and harder, and the laws are changing. The missionary we support in the Bahamas said they have invoked such strong taxation upon him as a missionary that it's making it difficult for him to live there on the amount of support that he has coming in. Prayer for laborers, support for the laborers who are willing to go, encouragement to keep them on the field. America has been at its best when we've been in crisis. When I came back from Vietnam, I was spit on in the airport by teenagers. I was called a baby killer. I found no welcome home from the nation at all. I was tried to be made ashamed for serving in the military and for going to war in Vietnam. But when 9/11 happened in the United States of America, the attitude changed toward veterans. People started saying thank you for your service. I've had people in Walmart when I'm wearing a hat with a military insignia upon it come up and shake my hand and thank me for my service. And many of those are veterans themselves who'll also add, welcome home. Those two words we never heard after Vietnam. No one said welcome home, except maybe your own immediate family members when you walked in the door. It's important that we demonstrate Christianity and not selfishness so that missions can go around the world, so that benevolent works can be done for others to show them Christ. We believe in the tithes and offerings of God's people to support the work. We don't do fundraising events to support the church. We don't do yard sales and bake sales and barbecues and sell the stuff and try to put that into church mission. Not one time in the 39 years since I came here and we established this church and I've been the pastor, have we ever come to you and said we can't meet our budget and we need you to give more money. We have lived within our means, and God has blessed because of your faithfulness to supply all that we do. And I believe he blesses because we give to missions. He has supported us. The Savior has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word has not changed. It is forever settled in heaven, and not one jot or tittle, not one little cross of a T or a dot of a punctuation will pass of all the law of God until the end come. God's plan for the church and missions hasn't changed. What's changed is men and governments. And we need God's word to guide the ship of this church through safe waters and a safe haven for your family. Let's stand together. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, we extend you an invitation to come and someone will counsel with you and help you to know Christ today before you leave this place. If you are saved, folks, give thanks to God for what you have. And let's live for the Lord today and not get so caught up in this present world that we don't have the time for the Lord or the money for service for God that it takes to support missions around the world.
Song number 388 in your hymn book. If you need the words to the song, have thine own way, Lord.